Hi, thank you for joining us for the first episode of our podcast, In Our Image, where we'll be discussing today the first episode of the show Girlfriends, Toe Sucking. I will be your host and facilitator, Abigail, and here I have with me Agnes.
Hi.
I have with me Sally Mestrich.
Hi.
Millie.
Hi.
And Diambuda.
Hi.
All right, great. Okay, I just wanted to also state, like, because this is going to be a discussion based in feminism and black feminism, I just want to give you guys the definitions. Feminism is the belief in an advocacy for social and political and economic equality of all genders. They challenge the systems of power and inequality that like perpetuate discrimination against women and marginalized genders, and they seek to address gender-based violence, workplace inequality, reproductive rights, societal expectation. While black feminism now addresses the more specific experiences that black women face outside of just like the general woman description. So emphasizing more of an intersectionality between gender, race, and class, and a few other like notions as well. And it tends to look at the struggles that women of color like face that get overlooked by like the general broader term of feminism, and it seeks to like, you know, uplift women of color as well. So I just wanted to give you guys that little like definition so you guys like know, like when I'm saying black feminism, I'm meaning more like not only feminism but like emphasizing the point of like the parts that get missed by the general discussion of feminism. But that was just a little aside. Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too.
So I do want to start with what you guys think about, you know, the things that I'm going to be posing. And one of the questions I do want to ask, though, is in the beginning of the episode, right after the credits, there's a moment where Maya starts saying to Joan, she's like, because Joan kind of like gets all excited that she sees like a card and flowers from somebody who sent it to her, right? And Maya goes,
Joan, you know that we are the only black women in this room. We can't keep yelling all through here.
How did this moment like hit you guys? Or like, how did it reflect like how black women feel it working in white spaces or being in white spaces?
I felt that it, okay, there's so many ways that I felt about that. Because of course, first of all, there is the, you know, the excitement that, oh, black people have actually reached that place, you know. Well, I'm thinking about their feelings, you know, that they must have felt really good that they're actually working in a place like that. But then I also feel a little bit sad that, you know, they're the only two black people in that farm. Surely, you know, in this day and age, why would there be only two black people? And then the third one, maybe I even have a fourth, the third one is that, why is she saying that, oh, you can't be yelling like that? Why does she have to put limits in her feelings just because they're the only two black people in the farm, let's say? Why do they have to feel like they can't really shout and be happy and show emotions? Why? I'll think of a fourth one, but for the moment, let me just stick to that.
I think they were saying that they shouldn't shout and all that is because like people have like a stereotypical point of view of like how black people are like loud and ghetto and like act a certain type of way. So like, yes, it's like good that they've made it to a certain point in that like they're working in like a white dominated field and in that, like an office space, but they also like have to code switch and like tone it down a bit to like not to face like the prejudice and like people judging them because they're acting a certain type of way which is viewed as like ghetto or something. So I feel like that's why they were saying that they need to like, they can't be shouting and all that.
It resonates with me because I sometimes feel, you know, like even my current job right now, as Billy saying, I was smiling when you mentioned that, you know, like only two black women in the organization. I'm the only black person in this organization. So, you know, like it resonates, and I feel like I don't have somebody I can go like buddy, you know, like do the same thing. Yeah, you know, like I'll be understood. I don't feel like I'm, you know, if I shout or do something like that, I'll be stood. So I tone a lot of things down because of, you know, like, yes, you're saying it's code switching. You tone it down because you want to fit in. I want to fit in. I want to be, you know, I want to be, and sometimes they could even be shouting themselves. You know, we could be in settings where they're shouting, you know, like my colleagues are shouting, but I can't shout. If I shout, I feel like if I talk a little louder, they keep quiet and look at me like, you know, what are you, you know, like what's going on? So yes, it does resonate. That point does resonate.
Yeah, and I think that like you were saying, I don't know if it's also always to just fit in, but sometimes it's also to avoid being stereotyped as like the angry black woman, like although like you're suppressing your authentic reactions just to kind of cater to your white colleagues. And I think that's something that a lot of black women have to like go through in predominantly white spaces, where you have to navigate like the politics of the office or politics of professionalism. And you don't want to be stereotyped as angry or unprofessional, especially when you're just having a simple reaction. And it's a reality that like many black women face, of course, because you have to like maneuver this kind of like tightrope between like asserting yourself or like celebrating like achievements or like even just like, you know, being stern, being like being understood or being respected in your workplace, but then also then being perceived as like violent or like a threat, even though like you got to this place like with all your achievements behind you. So it's like she also doesn't want Joan to like get in trouble or lose this position because of acting out in some way, but that shouldn't even be something like considered. She should be able to celebrate her achievements without being worried that like she's gonna have them taken away.
Because even like I feel, sometimes even I feel I can't even say the good things that are going on in my life because they are going to be perceived as, you know, like you're not doing so well, or like you're not supposed to be doing so well, you know, like we're helping you, or by you being here, we are helping you do well. So I've rarely in all the job, all the workplaces I've worked at, I've not even told people where I'm going on vacation. I try to tone it down. So you tone down even your voice. You don't tone it to your voice. You tone down even your accomplished things. You're happy, your life, your yourself. You tone down, you know, like that. And I think that's what Maya is trying to tell Joan. Like we can't show our happiness. We can't show our excitement around you because of that.
Ask you guys then, because like that is very interesting. Like, yeah, we do get cut off a lot, sometimes at our work, sometimes we get and you just can't behave in the same way that a white woman or a white man will react in their work. And so, but I do want to keep going, and I kind of want to ask though about, there's another part in the episode. It comes a little later. It's at the beginning of Joan's party, and Joan comes out and she's like,
it's not every day that a woman turns 26.
And in your case, for the fourth time. Joni, come on, you've got to stop this age thing. We have to combat this patriarchal, chauvinistic, all women should be young and dumb and a perky double D mindset.
What do you guys think about that? Like, about her, like stating these things about, like, age and beauty standards and how that kind of compares to what the other women in the show believe, but also what you believe.
I personally think it's... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I personally think it's, like, a refreshing kind of perspective than the whole, like, show, because, you can tell that, like... Like the whole show is essentially exploring these women's sex life and how they navigate through their lives, like through their careers, through their lives, but particularly like their romantic lives. So I think because her perspective is like basically rejecting beauty standards and like the beauty standards that are placed on her that come from like a white perspective, like a white standpoint, because white people do set the beauty standard, and particularly white men set the beauty standard for women in general.
Crazy.
Which, yeah, it is crazy. I think her perspective contrasts the other characters in a refreshing way that like challenges these social norms.
Amazing that the white man sets the beauty standards, and we all conform, even the white woman, you know, all of us, down to the, you know, the black women, and we always want to look younger. For some reason, we always want to look younger. You look like men, you know, like even when they're older, they're, you know, especially white men, they're okay being older, you know, like the age is not a problem. They want to look older, but women, for women, we want to look younger. For some reason, it's attractive. I agree, and I see. Yeah, how can we go back? You know, like how I noticed that even these days, you know, like people don't want to mention age. At least here in the US, people don't want to mention their ages. It's my age. It's a number. It's a number. It's my age. Why not just what I am?
That's quite interesting, actually, because right now I was thinking, you know, back then, and especially, you know, like for black women, and I'm going back to Africa, you know, like back then when we lived in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering whether people had the same problem age as they have now, because right now, even in Kenya, it's the same thing that people are kind of, they want to be young, they want to look young, and they don't really want to be their age. So if I'm 30, I will say that I'm 20, or, you know, something like that. And it happens all the time. I'm just wondering, you know, whether maybe our mom or your grannies and, you know, the older maybe generation, did they have that problem as well? You know, did they feel like they had to stay young for some reason, or were they happy with their age? And did they have to even think about their age? Did they actually have to say, you know, I'm 50 or I'm, you know, whatever age? Was there any point where they required a certain age, or was everybody happy that they were just... So, in a sense, it's like a question of why does Joan feel like she has to say that?
I feel like maybe she... Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Okay, maybe she feels like... Because, like, if you... Okay, I continued watching some parts of it, but she feels like she's getting older, but the things she wanted to have achieved by the time she was 30, she hadn't achieved them yet. So maybe like for her, pushing her age backwards is like giving her more time to actually like achieve her goals before she's 30, but she actually is. Like it's just like giving her more time to like become better in a sense.
Just to ask, do we still feel the same way? You know, like we have to by a certain age, you have to have done a certain thing by a certain, you know. I'm asking everyone.
For women, there's like this idea of like your biological like clock of like when you should be getting married, when you should be having kids. Like these should come in your 20s. that's what people like, that's their perception. And obviously that's like very different for everyone. But I think for women, there's a perceived value in youth and remaining your youth. And I think that's, this is like culturally different, but I think especially because in Kenya back in the day, obviously as well, like people were having children at much younger ages. So like as you age, you gain wisdom and you gain respect. But I think that that idea is also cultural. I don't think in the US, or I don't know if in the UK, but I think for women, as you age, there's this perceived idea of like bitterness and like, I don't know. It's like there's a lot of like ideas that are attached to women aging, like bitterness to younger women, or like there is a like in a sense like a perceived value with women that age. I think men, as they age, they're considered wiser. They're considered, they have more knowledge. Even just societally, there's this idea that men have puberties that they go through, one like in their teenage years and then one once they reach their 40s. So there's this idea that men get even more attractive when they get older, whereas women just continue decaying. It gets worse and worse, especially after you have kids and whatever. It just gets worse and worse, which I think is extremely untrue, obviously. But this is an idea that uplifts like the patriarchy, just because men have the power already. There's this already perceived idea that as men get older, they get more powerful, they gain more wealth, they get more money. And then as women age, their value just decreases and decreases, because I think what people value in women is not their mind, but it's their body.
Okay. Wow. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah. I was wondering whether, you know, okay, to be fair, there's a little bit of biology in that, yeah? Biology is not fair on women because it gives us a time, you know? No matter what anybody says, we have a time on quite a few. But on the other hand, I think society has taken that to really beat us with it. And you're feeling a certain, you feel as if you're rushed, you're being rushed by society and by biology. So you actually feel even worse, you know, you get to a certain age and I think you just suddenly panic, you know. You get to 30, you panic. You get to 50, you start panicking. And, you know, it's just a like panic all through a woman's life. Whereas a man, like Sally says, you know, it seems as if their life is just smooth. It gets better even as they age. And I can see a little bit of unfairness. And I can see why Joan is feeling, you know, a bit frustrated. He's getting to a certain age and she hasn't done some of it that she feels she should have done.
Well, what do you guys think then about, like, the fact that, you know, she has this, like, the plan, like, she says in the show is...
26. I lied. I'm 29 today. And according to my life stage planner, I should have it all by now. The career, the husband, the kids. So if I say 26 and I bought myself some time, okay?
That sounds like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot to get done in, like, 4 years. So what do you guys think about that? Like why do you feel like why does she and other women tend to feel like they need to get that done or need to make this type of plan versus men?
I think that's just what I'm saying about being rushed, feeling like you're being rushed to do things before a certain time. I don't know if everybody else feels, but it just seems to be like only women feel they have to do, are feeling rushed by the society, biology.
I think women are like put into this box that your only jobs are to get married and to have kids. Those are the two things that are like the most important for women to achieve in their life. That's how you know you've succeeded. And then everything else is just like whatever. Because everything else you don't really necessarily need a timeline for. but specifically for having children, women are whittled down. Like, that is your main goal. That's your biological, like, that is what you're meant to do biologically. That's the only thing that you're here for, is to conceive children, or have children. And I think that that's a huge problem, because women are able to go out and work and get educated and have a good career. So you already know that the pressure of a career also prevent women from doing a lot of things, because there's this idea that, oh, a woman is going to go and get pregnant, and then she won't be able to work, and then she has to go on maternity leave, and then we have to cater to her because she has children now, and she has to take them to soccer practice and go to doctors. So we don't want to hire women now, or we don't want to promote women, because we know that all of these things are going to happen, and they're not going to be better for our business. So that's why a lot of women in the past, and also still right now, aren't hired and aren't promoted, because there's this idea that, oh, well, they're just going to go and leave and have kids, and they're not financially going to help our company, because they're going to just take time off to take care of their kids. So,
well, I'm going to shift gears a little, but this was great. But I want to ask now a little bit more about, Tony and Joan's friendship. I think it's established that they've known each other for a very long time, since, as far as we know, in the pilot, fifth grade, I think. They were talking about that. And yet, Tony decides to date one of Jones's exes. And that's the start of the pilot, and that's the introduction to their friendship, is that Tony decides that she's gonna date Charles, this man that Joan had dated for quite a while, broke up with about a year ago. So, what do you guys feel about, Yambura, tell me, what do you think about, the boundaries and loyalties between friends, especially in Black women? How did that make you feel about, Joan and Tony?
It was so wrong of Tony to go for Joan's ex, because you can't do that to your friend, honestly. Even just liking the same person would bring so much drama, leave alone going for their ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that was quite shallow of Tony for doing so, because their friends, obviously, so she didn't know that they were dating or anything. So I don't think that was right of her to do. Leave alone being a Black woman or anything, just being a woman in general, it's not something good to do. So yeah.
Have you guys ever had moments like that?
No, but I've heard of things like that, and I think it's very different as you get older and as these bonds grow over high school and college kind of things. But I also still feel it's an unwritten friendship code. That and it causes you to feel uncomfortable. I think that was the intention of it. They wanted you to feel uncomfortable in the show, make you feel oh, I do that. I couldn't imagine my friend doing that. To build up a resentment towards Tony, but then also to think about it in your own perspective. Oh, if that happened to me, this is a form of betrayal. And then I think it's also this idea of betrayal between Black people too. I think it is a display of disunity in Black women, and how that is a reoccurring theme often. So I don't, yeah, I think that's
Do you think it happens? It happens a lot. Amongst Black women, really?
No, I think, but just the idea of disunity and between Black women.
I'm getting what Sally is saying, because when Black women are friends, they will call each other sister, there's a feeling that you're probably, closer than friends. And maybe that's where that idea of actually dating ex of one of your girlfriends just feels so wrong, because you feel as if it would be your sister. you know, actually doing that, which, you know, of course you'd say gross, that is just definitely not something you can think of. So I feel that that is probably where it's coming from, you know, like, you know, they're so close that that is just, because we saw even how Maya reacted, you know, she just, you know, she actually enunciated the feeling, you know, of how gross it was. You know, she said that, you know, when you actually have sex with the man, you know, you feel as if you have had sex with your girlfriend every time, you know.
Your best friend and your ex in bed together laughing at you. Look, I'm just trying to keep you from looking like a chump.
Ex? Who's your ex?
Charles.
Oh, hell no. She's not dating your man?
Ex. Maya, I do not appreciate you insulting me at the table.
You're dating John's ex?
Yeah, so?
And you all are friends. Uh-huh. See, black women don't do that, Tony, like I'm wearing blue eyeshadow. Wrong.
That's wrong? Excuse me, I gotta call my mother.
Maya, I don't mind if Tony dates Charles.
Yeah, Joan and I have shared everything since the fifth grade.
No, you know what, y'all? This is not right. Okay, now they say if you have sex with someone, it's like you're having sex with everyone they had sex with. So, Joan, if she sexes your man, it's like she's having sex with you.
We're all consenting adults.
You nasty! Ugh.
Yeah, and just that's just so cool.
Well, what did you think about that? Do you guys agree with her with that? You know, like,
totally. I agree. I agree with my.
I've never thought about it. It's I'm hoping none of my girlfriends have ever had, you know, like gone back and.
But that's the thing. The fact that they probably would have been hidden it, you know, it means that that is bad.
I don't know. I had a problem with her saying that, though, because, like, although I do agree that you shouldn't do that to a friend, I feel like it diminishes women to, like, their sexuality. Like, it stigmatizes their sexuality, just in the sense that, like, if a man did that, they wouldn't be like, oh, because you slept with that girl and I also slept with that girl. Like, that means we slept with each other. Like, no, they would just give each other a high five and move along. So I don't know. I feel like it just reflects these traditional views of women and their purity. Like, if they're both sleeping with a man, that means that, like, they're both up here. Or, like, that, I don't know, that they, like, had sex with each other. And I think it's more of, like, a moral issue rather than, like, a sexual issue. I think morally we understand that it's wrong to get with a guy that your friend was, like, with or whatever, but I don't think it's, like, sexually wrong, because, like, I don't feel like there's a problem with people having, like, several different sexual partners, like, or especially because they both had a connection with this man, like, they were both dating this man, so it wasn't just, like, an idea of, like, oh, they were sleeping around. I think that idea kind of just, like, stigmatizes women and their sexuality, because it makes it seem like their whole connection is just simplified to the sex that they're having.
It's very interesting, you know, like, I know Nyambura mentioned earlier on that, you know, like, even being attracted to the same person, you know, like, being attracted to the same person as friends is sort of taboo. And I'm just thinking, you know, like, having friends, you have a lot of similarities. It's almost, you know, like, yeah, even sisters and whatever, and friends, you have a lot of similarities. So you're likely to be attracted to somebody, you know, like, somebody who's your friend is attracted to. So how do you switch it off when your friend and the other person hit off? You have to switch it off on your side. You have to switch the attraction on your side. Is that the case? Is that how it happens for people?
You get annoyed and jealous for a short time, and then you're alone.
And then you move on. You let...
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I feel like, at least for me and my friends, or, like, with my sister, it's never been the case. Like, we've never had an attraction to, like, the same person. So that just makes it easier. But I feel like, yeah, like, it's just an idea of, like, respect. And, like, having good morals. Like, you wouldn't go after somebody that your friend is with or was with.
Right. Yeah, it's just a moral thing.
Just having some control, okay. I guess.
It's a code. It's a moral code.
I think it is. Yeah, it's a good thing. But you know what? Is it different to, let's say, if you're watching football and you both see this guy and you go, you know, he's good looking, and you go on to describe, and you're like, you both like it, you know, but somebody who is actually physically there, maybe is completely different.
No, I think, go ahead, Nyambura.
I think that's different, because if it's like someone you're watching on, it's not like you guys actually can like have a relationship with them. It's just someone you're like, you fancy, or like someone just is good looking or whatever. But if it's like in real life and it's like actually someone you could potentially like in future like date or something, then that's where like you can't really like the same person.
The person on TV is eye candy, or somebody you meet in the streets, you all, both of you, it's an eye candy, you know, like
Okay.
Do you ever feel like you're the one who ends up, because that was a good point, like, do you ever feel like you're the one who ends up conceding, or you're the one who ends up being in the relationship? Like, let's say what would you think you would do?
It depends on the situation, but I would prefer like removing myself from the equation and just letting them pursue their own thing. Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a mutual thing, isn't it? Even the person, unless the person, you know, like you look at Charles is a player, you know, because he once
he finished with Tony.
Yeah, Tony finished with him, you know, like he went back to Joe, which was you just see this is a person who just jumps from the other side. But you know, like I think a man will, you know, I'm hoping a man will have some more staying power. You know, they want a specific person, they just want that specific person. It doesn't matter, you know, what. Yeah, the friend could have been interested, you know, but they just want this particular person. So that's, you know, that's, I think that statement comes out at some point.
Well, then there's also a part, though, because, like, Joan now, although it's weird, she technically gives her blessing to Tony to bring Charles to her birthday, which, in and of itself, like, no. But then Joan knows that they're kind of seeing each other, but then...
Activities begin, the handsome guy is here. And this fella, too.
William, I am so glad that you could make it. Charles?
Happy birthday.
Okay, ladies, take note. This is where I turn, and he pops a wheelie because I remind him that all of this booty could have been his.
She turns around. She bends over, showing him his butt, her butt.
Champagne, anyone?
Is that, like, then problematic on her side? Because since she's already technically given her blessing, but she's still kind of, like, going after but not really going after her, like, the person her friend is actually dating? Or do you think, like, there's also a thing where, you know, women have to prove their worth to others even after they've been rejected? Like, what do you guys think?
I feel like yeah, she may have given her blessing, but it just goes back to, like, the girl code, where obviously Tony knew that Joe and Charles had that initial connection and they were doing that thing prior. So obviously feelings can't just switch off like that. She'll just say yes in the moment so that she doesn't look like she's trying to hold Tony back. Yeah, so I feel like what she was doing was just a reaction of how she felt in the moment, where she was like, it should have been me and Charles instead of Tony and Charles, because at the end of the day, we were the ones dating them, like, at first.
I feel like the way the program is like we kind of have a feeling that they had been dating for a long time, because John is actually even talking to Charles's mom. You know, they talk, they probably even go shopping. I'm not sure whether that was the one where they go shopping. So that means that, and then in the end she says, you know, your mom can't understand why we broke up. So that means that the relationship was going so well to the point where they were expected to get married, yeah? So, and that's where there is a big, big problem of Tony now taking a chance, especially knowing that they were actually going to get married. You know, there was that thought of getting married. So that becomes, you know, even worse, because it's one thing to probably have a one-night stand with a guy and then your girlfriend jumps up, and then actually having a long-term relationship where you could even probably have been a maid of honor, and then you jump on the guy. It's almost as if you're taking somebody's husband, you know? That's how I feel.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Tony did know. That's a moral code, you know? Like, you just know this was your friend's person. Even if you got married, I think that would be, you know? Because you would have to choose one or the other. It would, yeah, that would.
Yeah, but then again, like what Agnes said, you know, Charles is definitely a player, because how would you be with somebody long term and you know their friend, and then you just jump in and actually agree to go for a birthday? You know, does it show that he still had feelings and he probably wanted to make John a bit jealous, or show her that, you know, I can get on with you, one of your girls, even if you didn't want me, it's not that John didn't, it's only because he refused to get married, or he wasn't quick enough to say, you know, this, he would want to get married, but this is what's stopping him. So on that part, he's actually a player, and I think both of them, I like the way it ended, with him not being with any of them, you know. I think that's how it should be, and especially with them playing, you know, a trick on him. That is just generally how I liked that. It means that they were back to
you. And you know what? I think it was very nice that they all understood each other. You know, like when they sent him to the Chinese, they all, you know, like they all played along very, very nicely. So
it
shows how they, you know, like they understand each other as girlfriends, you know, like you're very, very close and you support each other and whatever. You know, so they sent him to one place and they said, no, I guess it's Italian now.
Yeah.
And they all knew, you know, like it was, they didn't have to say it in other words.
Yeah. Hey, Tony.
Wow, payback's a bitch. No, you see, okay, yeah. The point is, if you want him, you can have him. I mean, no hard feelings this time.
No. I love you. I don't want to risk losing you, even for a toe-sucking millionaire.
But that's your dream.
There'll be others.
Ladies, hi. I'm still standing here.
Hey, you guys, why don't we go to a restaurant and laugh this whole thing off?
My treat. Chinese? There's a great place of Melrose in Fairfax.
Yeah. You know what? You go ahead, and we'll stay here and freshen up, and then we'll meet you there.
Good deal.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Be right there.
So, Italian it is?
Italian?
And it's amazing that he didn't get it. Is it just a man thing? He didn't get it.
He didn't know.
He was being played.
Well, it seems like Joan has known Lynn for a really long time, since college at least, and Joan has known Tony since the fifth grade, and then Joan has hired Maya to be her assistant. So, like, Joan kind of knows everyone a little bit, and, you know, it seems like Lynn and Tony have known each other because we're introduced to them where Lynn is living in Tony's apartment and stuff like that. But then you have a moment, though, where Tony is, like, judging like, at the party, she's judging Maya's grammar.
This Moroccan food is off the hook. I'm gonna take some home to my husband. What? Why are you looking at me?
I'm sorry. It's why are you looking at me? You dropped verbs.
Tommy, I go to college. I don't need you correcting me.
Well, apparently they didn't teach you that a sentence must have a verb.
Well, you know, I did learn that kiss is both a verb and a noun. So how about you give my ass a kiss or kiss my ass?
Or, you know, she calls Maya, she says, like, oh, this low rent or ghetto fabulous. When she's, like, talking to, like, how did you guys, you know, like, Agnes, how did you feel about, you know, like, hearing Tony use this kind of superiority term with Maya, saying, like, ghetto fabulous, stuff like that? Like, do you think she's trying to make herself superior due to her background than to Maya?
Yeah, definitely. She's trying to, she makes herself superior, you know, more educated, more, and we do that. I know, I mean, not to our friends, but, you know, like, you'll look at somebody, you have a neighbor on the other side of ours, and I have to say, we look at her, you know, like, we're understanding of the fact that black, we would like for her to be, but, you know, like, I do look at her and just think, yeah, I don't know how she, you know, like, even I'm thinking in my head, like, saying, I'm not sure, you know, like, we do have that, we have that, but I don't know whether it's to our friends. I haven't had that. It doesn't show on the side of friends, but we do look, you know, like, we do look, you know, like, you sometimes do feel superior. And I have to say also that sometimes I do feel inferior girls, you know. So it's both ways.
Okay, I feel like there is a kind of a gentle, you know, like taking the meek. Well, I shouldn't say that because
no, say it. We know what it means.
You understand what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there's a little bit of. It's okay if it's friends and you're kind of making fun of each other, and it's shown at the beginning of the episode when Joan actually makes fun of Maya, and what she says was, I think it was about the boyfriend. She uses a wrong grammar. I don't know whether everybody saw that, yeah? And Joan corrected her. And that, I feel, that one was all right. And Maya actually, you know, she didn't take any offense. But I think the offense was taken when Tony now made a big deal of her, and especially in a party. So it's probably okay to do it amongst ourselves, but we can't do it in front when there's other people around us, when there's friends or there's a party going on, which I feel is actually quite fair, because I don't think Tony should have been showing her up like that, sort of, you know, there was guests around who's telling her. But I liked the comeback. I liked Maya's comeback.
Yeah, I agree with what you've just said.
Good one, good one.
Yeah.
I think that it's also like, just like you were saying, like, in a, like, amongst, like, other people, it was like a form of humiliating her. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, because class and, like, in, like, knowledge, like, being intellectual, like, whatever, it holds a lot of weight in society. Mm-hmm. Like, embarrassing someone on that level is, like, it's more impactful and more significant. So, and especially to a man who also holds more social class in society. So it was just a way of, like, humiliating her in front of other people. But then, yeah, I agree, the comeback was, like, very clever. And I just feel like, specifically with the way Black people speak, it's like, yes, of course, like, there's code switching, and then there's AAVE, which is African-American Vernacular English, which is just a way that Black people speak with each other, and you have to code switch in different environments when there is predominantly white people around you. But in that instance, it should have felt like a safe space for her to speak amongst her friends. But then, of course, like, the idea of class was brought into it. So that's another way of, like, adding divisions between Black people in society, because Black people are supposed to be unified in society, but then also class breaks the unification amongst Black people. So I think, and that's often, like, commonly used in different, like, in different cases, like in Kenya, splitting people up based on tribes, like, it was a way to divide Black people from unifying against one common enemy. So I think this is, like, an example of that in the show, like, where you're splitting up Black people from the common enemy of white people, or specifically in this case, like, the patriarchy, like, splitting Black women up against the patriarchy using a different form of social stratification.
Well, the tribes already existed. It was that the way they formed the countries were grouping different warring tribes and, like...
Yeah, like, but also pitting them against each other.
And pitting them against each other, yes.
Giving some more social power and then giving some less.
Yes.
And that's what I kind of mean. That's, like, the way that they were so stratified. Like minoritizing some and giving some majority power, majority control. So... yeah, that's what I
find. I also kind of resonate with them, Maya, in a way, because maybe she's obviously used to speaking in a certain type of way, which is, like, similar to me. Like, yeah, we speak English in Kenya, but obviously there's, like, some of our pronunciations and some of the way we say other things, it's quite different. So I feel like sometimes when I would speak to my friends here, I'd say certain words, like, for example, circumstance. I say circumstance, but they say something else that I don't even know. So, like, every time I would try to pronounce something, like, people would try to correct me. So I'm like, I'm saying a certain word, but they're like, pardon, like, they don't understand me. But I feel like Tony should have tried correcting and, like, talking to Maya and, like, in a, like, calling her sideways and telling her, like, oh, you should say this, this, and that, instead of, like, calling her out in front of everyone. But I feel with Maya how she, like, she's, like, she's used to speaking a certain type of this. So obviously, like, switching to, like, proper English and everything is kind of hard for her. You know?
Well, what do you think, Agnes?
I think I think that resonates, and I think from what Mbura said, I've also had to give up on some of the explanations of some of the things I say, because I just realize somebody hasn't understood me, and I just move on, you know? Like, what's, you know, like, how many times can you say a word like quack? Quack is considered walk. Well, you know, so I do agree. I do agree with you, Nyambura. It's the way Maya, I think, was speaking. But I also agree with everyone else. You know, like, basically, correcting people. I guess correcting people on anything, I think, should be done privately. You know, it shouldn't be done. It doesn't work when you do it. You know, like, embarrassed. I think Tony's case, but Tony, I think we'll get to know her a bit more. She's more uppity. She's very, very uppity. You know, she portrays herself as very uppity. So I guess that's just, you can also say that's just Tony. That's, you know, that's just the way Tony acts.
Well, speaking of Tony just being Tony, you know, apparently it's very clear that she wants to marry Rich. Like, she wants that money, she wants the wealth. But she's also judged for it. Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, do you think, like, her financial security or, like, want for wealth is just, like is it a bad thing, or is it, like, a smart thing to think about, or, like, what do you think about Tony's ambition to marry money?
I feel like for Tony, her ambition for, like, to marry rich is, like, kind of her masking herself, because she came from, I can't remember where, but she came from, like, a countryside, like, background and everything. So her escape route from all that, like, that lifestyle that she had prior is to marry rich so that she feels like her, like, kids in future and, like, her won't have to go back to, like, living in the countryside and everything. It's like an upgrade in a sort of way, and, like, also, like, security that she wouldn't have to, like, raise her kids in the same environment she was raised in, which she maybe she didn't like and all that.
Well, Millie, Agnes, do you guys kind of relate with that notion?
I think I feel, you know, like society has, for the longest time, for a long, long time, it's very interesting because marriages have been made for business, even in the past, in some places, and they've also been made, you know, so that for love, you know, basically. So I think there's a lot of, you know, like you're forced to make it sound like it's for love, you know, like you're marrying somebody for love, and probably you want somebody for security purposes, because what's a woman, I mean, what are the things that a woman wants when they're marrying a man? It could be love, yes, love, security, and security also, maybe, you know, like, makes that love even better, you know. So I don't know, I think if that's what Tony is looking for, that's basically what love is to her, you know, or whatever, you know, like that security. And I think she, you know, like, and I think her friends, from the way we've seen, her friends accept it. They've accepted, you know, and she's very clear about it. She's open about it. She doesn't let other people, you know, like, influence her. Yes, I'm going to marry him. He has a Porsche. You know, that's the first thing we know about Charles. He has a Porsche. So, you know, like, she's already calculated and seen what her security is. I think, she should go for it.
Well, I probably have a different opinion on that. In fact, I almost kind of feel as if it annoys me to think that, you know, that's how women are seen. You know, like, this is what you have to go to. You have to go to a man who is rich, you know. You know, like, when women are looking for a date, everybody assumes that, oh, you have to go for a guy who, you know, he has to be moneyed so that you can. And I think that really diminishes, you know, women. It's probably anti-feminism, but maybe in a different way, because I feel like, you know, when you are able to cater for yourself, I think that is, for me, that is strong feminism. You know, you're showing that you're capable, you can live by yourself, you can be yourself, you know, without having somebody there for you, without having, you know, an other looking after you, you know. You're able to look up. So when I see Tony, how can I describe Tony? I just say that I feel like she's letting the side down in a way, you know. While she's we can see that she's an educated woman, she's very career oriented, and she's making her own money. So why would you want to be, you know, to put yourself down by actually going for somebody just because of it? But then again, everybody to their own. You know, she's allowed to have that opinion of herself, but for me, it's like she's letting the side down. I don't know what everybody else thinks. Maybe I'm just wrong.
I don't know if you guys can hear me well, because I'm in the mall right now.
You sound perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I kind of have a different opinion too. Kind of like different to everybody, but like maybe the same more so to Agnes, with a little bit more like nuance added to it. I feel like, again, like capital holds a lot of weight, and women, and particularly Black women, do not have the same abilities to reach that like level of capital as, for example, a man or a white man or a white woman even. Black women have way more barriers set in front of them to reach any of those goals. So I feel that because of the fact that capital is so important in society, and because it is made, like our world is made for us to prioritize capital or make it seem like it's the most important thing, then why make someone feel bad about the way that they're going about it? Because I feel like the way she's going about reaching capital is way more morally okay or ethically okay than a lot of other people who get their wealth in very, very ethically horrible ways, like exploiting labor and like other things like that.
She's just exploiting her husband.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, I don't think it's an exploitation, because she is providing something. She is a beautiful, very thin, very like socially, like looking at her, she holds a lot of weight in society too, just because of her beauty, because of her attractiveness, because of her youth. So there is a trade there. The man is going after her beauty. They have an understanding that she is interested in their wealth. It's a trade. And although there might not be love there, I agree with what Agnes said before. Marriage hasn't always been about love. It's frequently been contractual. I mean, if you look at like tons of royal families in the European ages, it was between cousins. Like people were shipped across countries, shipped in just to get married as soon as, to keep the royal blood pure. And it's still a contractual thing to this day. Tax write-offs. People get married now just to be able to buy a house, to have shared incomes. Right now, even presently, like there's this whole idea of two male friends getting married to each other just to be able to own a house and to have shared income. Like, and that's a huge thing that's like blowing up right now, because women have been doing it for so long, but the fact that like two men get married now is like, or two men share an income now is like completely confusing to people. But like, I don't see any problem with her doing that. I think there's like underlying issues where, like, I think that the idea that somebody like doesn't care about finding love and cares more about money, cares about capital more, is the problem. I think capital is a problem in society rather than like the way people go about finding it.
I do agree with you actually, in that if both of them are aware that, you know, I'm exploiting your looks and you're exploiting my wallet, I think, you know, fair enough, you know, like each to their own. But I feel like, you know, if it's not there to begin with, you know, it would be a problem as well, just as well as when a man is actually exploiting a woman for her look. And I suppose that would be a problem, you know. I would see that as a problem.
I like the fact that Tony is very clear, you know, like she's everybody knows, you know, that she is going to marry money, you know, like if in my head I'm just thinking, if the money went out, trickled out of hard holes like Sally's bank account, she would leave also, you know, as soon as it left, she would leave along with the money. So she's very, very clear about it, you know, like this is what she's this is what she wants. And I respect her for it. I do respect that, you know, like she's going to love that man because he has that money. And she's probably going to treat that man very well because he has that money. So, you know, like the rent, you know, like for maybe for me, shoot myself, I don't know why I didn't have that in mind.
But you know what? Go on, finish.
But you know, like for somebody else, it's something else. You know, like that they are looking for something else, and that is what they're going to make sure they get that something else when they marry that person. And when it's no longer there, maybe that's when, you know, even that's something else. It might not be wealth, it might not be money, it might be something else, you know. But we are all different in whatever we need in exchange for our, you know, in exchange for what we are sharing with the man. And I think we can't judge. I can't judge another person for wanting whatever they get in that particular.
Okay.
I complain.
Sorry. Okay, I'm drawing parallels here, yeah? Because mm-hmm. we're talking about a man and his money, right? So if we say a woman and her beauty, so we are telling a man that it will be okay to be married to us as long as we are beautiful. But once our beauty ends, then it's okay for him to look for somebody else who's got the beauty.
But it's the same thing, you know, like the money trickles out, you live with the money trickling out. You know, like
so the money, okay. If the money okay being, for the man.
So that's the man, you know, like a man. There's some men who want to, you know, like it's the outward look that they're looking for. So if they're looking for that's what they're looking for. I think that's and they are very clear about it. Whoever they're exchanging it, you know, like we've seen women do a lot of things to change themselves to whatever, just form to look the way the man wants them to look, so that they can keep that particular man. But you know, that's the man. You know, that's that particular man. That's what they want also.
Well, I feel like what Millie is saying is that should we then be condoning that behavior from men? Like, isn't that a thing that we fight against? Where like men, men marrying women for beauty and then divorcing them to go for a younger woman because she's beautiful, because she's younger. Like, should we then be condoning the same thing in that aspect?
That's exactly my point.
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify that so we could get some answers now.
That was my point, actually. You know, are we saying that you know, the parallels are the same? We would be happy for that to happen, as well as, you know, for a woman to marry the man as long as his riches are there, will we be as happy for the man to be married to a woman as long as, you know, because it's the same parallel, right?
Yeah, I do see that. I see Sally wanting to say something so badly.
No, it's okay. So I just wanted to say, first of all, I agree with Agnes, thanks for the call out earlier. But yes, I do agree that women do often, they often, like society, were not able to put standards on their living. They often just had to marry a man based on their wealth. Like, because women do not have jobs, their social like security was in a man. Yes, can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, their complete security was in a man. So beyond that, like, I think today, like presently, the fact that a woman can have, like, can set standards for herself is important. And if a woman wants to have a man that is secure in their finances, I think that's perfectly fine. I think the way that it's explained on the show is a little bit like exaggerated, of course, but I think today, presently, if a woman wants to have a man who's secure in their finances, that they don't have to take care of him, they can just focus on making their own wealth, because she is making her own wealth still. But I think the fact that women are just able to have standards for themselves to begin with is like a huge step forward. And the fact that she's able to create those boundaries and to create those standards is important. But then to add on to the question that was just asked, which was whether or not it's the same morally for like a man to be able to like, should we put the same pressures on a man like if they want to leave a woman because her age is increased, she doesn't have the youth, the beauty, whatever. Whereas like for a man, if they lose their money, is it okay for the woman to leave? And I think that's just like, I mean, you have that understanding when you get into these kinds of relationships. Like, I married you because you provided me this. You married me because I provide you this. If this is gone, our marriage is done. So like, for example, if I don't know if you guys have watched Modern Family, but you can see that kind of relationship between Gloria and I'm forgetting his name right now.
Jay.
Yes, exactly. He clearly is not attractive, but he does provide her a lot of wealth and a lot of security. She came from Colombia. She came like she was living in the U.S. very, very poor. He provided her that financial security. She provides him a very attractive woman to be with. If she loses her beauty, then something might happen to their relationship. They might end it. If he loses his wealth, something might happen to their relationship. Although you see the nuances within the show, you can tell that that's like mainly where the attraction lies. And I don't necessarily see a problem with that.
Okay. I feel like that must be like the more modern take on the like... I mean, that's
more than think, yeah.
I mean, like, we're learning about trad wives these days and everything. Trad wife being women who want to go into the more traditional wifely roles of, like, staying at home, taking care of the kid while their husband makes the money. Like, that's a thing that's coming back. But I do, we're coming close on time. Yes, thank you, Sally, for also saying that, because we are. I wanted to kind of get the last question out. Is Tony and Joan end up making up at the end of the episode? Millie had said, they trick Charles into going to a Chinese restaurant when they're going to Italian and stuff like that. But how do you feel like that was handled? Do you feel like it was a real, genuine, like, makeup? Do you feel like it was a little rushed? Do you feel like it's real in real friendships of what could happen? Sally, you're shaking your head.
I feel like it was real. It was very real, and they got back to the moral of the thing. They both had the moral of the thing, and they realized, no, we can't do this. We've always been good friends. This Tony, and you can tell, Tony says, when she's breaking up with Charles, she says, I've had the longest friendship with John, and she's done all these many things for her, you know, like John has done so many things for her. So she doesn't want to hurt that relationship. Then on the other end, John, when Charles tries to get it with her also, she also like recognizes, you know, like friendship, you know, like you can see a bulb. They don't show a bulb switch sort of thing, you know, the cognition thing. But it is there. They both see this is just a man coming between us, you know, like we've always been friends. We've had this strong relationship. We are just letting a man come. We shouldn't let a man come in between us. But although John, at the end of the show, I think we see John is still thinking about him in some way. Anyway.
I think it was handled. Of course, because it's a show, it's going to be a bit rushed. But we were left with the feeling that, you know, they had amicably come to a point where they were okay to let Charles go. And even when they're playing, you know, we're together in this trick. We are going to show him, you know, it's him against the big sisterhood. I think we're left seeing that, you know, they will move on, but maybe they'll forget about Charles.
Okay. I'm going to start with the final remarks. Anyone have anything quick to say before we wrap this up?
No, not me.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming and joining me in this discussion. This was great. This was amazing. Thank you so much. That was the first episode of In Our Image, based on the show Girlfriends and the first episode, the pilot of the show. I thought that went really, really well. So I'm once again Abigail. Agnes.
Oh, Agnes.
I'm Sally.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Nyambura.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.